Hello, everyone, and welcome to Why My Parents Worry About Me. I'm Taylor.
And I'm Munna, and this is a podcast where we spin the globe, land on a random city, and share stories of true crime, folklore, and a touch of paranormal that truly makes our parents worry about us.
How's your week been?
Pretty exhausting. I can't even lie. I am not sleeping at all now. Mm-hmm. I work all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm very tired, but it is what it is. Right. And I'm making bank, so I'm happy in that sense, but
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, we've talked about this before, but I can dream really hard. Like, I lucid dream a lot. And with that, sometimes I get really bad nightmares just because, like, honestly, like, I can take a 5-minute nap and go right into REM sleep.
It's literally insane to me that you can even lucid dream. Like, I can't even wrap my head around it because I don't even dream.
Yeah. But, like, I don't understand how, at the same time, I'm like, how do you not dream?
I mean, I'm sure I do dream, but I don't remember anything ever.
See, like, I pretty much remember all my dreams, at least for a while. And that's the really so vivid ones, remember for, like, a month or two.
Yeah, no, that's, like,
so much.
Seriously crazy. But you were in Chicago this weekend. Did you have fun?
I did. I got to – so many of my friends just moved there, so I feel like I'm always driving over there, and it takes a while. And it was so good to see them, and – I miss a big city. I can't lie. I love big cities. Every time I go into the big city, I'm always like a little kid in a candy store. And I'm like, oh, so much going on. So many people. So many buildings. I love it. So
I like the hustle and bustle of it. And I also like the convenience of it. Like, I think it's awesome that you can, like, walk out of your door and, like, walk a block and go get groceries. I think that's really cool.
Yes. I love walking. That's a big thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you love walking, then living in the city is perfect because having a car doesn't make sense in the city.
No, honestly not. And I don't know, like, where me and Taylor are from, like, we just walk. We do not walk anywhere.
We have to drive everywhere.
Have to drive everywhere because there's no public transportation, really.
Yeah.
And it sucks. I don't know. My steps are terrible.
Yeah, when I grew up, it was more of a rural environment, and now that I'm living in, like, the suburbs, I love that I can get in my car and drive to the grocery store, and it's, like, 3 minutes away. And so that kind of living where I'm closer to everything has really kind of changed my perspective on, like, wanting to live in the country, because it's just so convenient to be able to take 10 minutes and get everything that you need for the night. And if you forget something, it's not a big deal because the gas station's a mile or less than a mile away. I can walk to the gas station if I wanted to.
I mean, to be honest, you're right, because mm-hmm. I think about it all the time. The fact whenever I live in big cities, I'm always going to the store and then I have to carry it all back to my apartment or on the metro or on a bus. And it's so sweaty and disgusting and I can't carry as much as I want. So I had to go out more often because I can't get all the groceries I need all in one trip. It's a lot rougher. I can't lie. So, like, with all my friends moving, I was the one, like, driving everywhere to get their food and get their groceries and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, but at least you have that type of, like, you can have that mental break where you're able to go and experience the big city and hang out with your friends. And then you get to go home and, like, not have to worry about doing 7 trips to the grocery store because you're walking or going through the subway.
Exactly. And, like, I miss it. I already miss it. I love being in Chicago. It's a great city. Oh, my God. And we were at Millennium Park this past weekend. Mm-hmm. I saw Big Ed.
No way. That literally, that text message from you was bananas to me.
I was, like, screaming. I was like, bro, that's him.
Seriously. That's so funny. I had no idea that he lived in Chicago. Has he always lived in Chicago?
I don't think he lives there. I think he was just visiting. He, like,
oh.
I'm sorry, I've been saying like a lot, but my friends were telling me that they checked out his Instagram and he was talking about how he was with his, like, spin instructor and then he was with his nail tech, or I don't even know. He was with different instructors of his and was just, like, going around with them.
Huh. That's so funny. Yeah, I think it's great that he's just, like, this huge celebrity now.
For being an asshole in 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah, you're actually kind of right, because he did some toxic stuff.
Yeah, nah, for real. She deserved better.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he tried to make her shave her legs, ooh. that enough got me angry.
I was more upset about her having to take a test because he didn't trust her past.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, aren't you getting married? Come on. But I have to say, my favorite scene is that one when, have you watched it?
Not all of it. Only, like, highlights.
Okay. Because there's this part when he's in the Philippines and he goes and takes a shower outside and he starts screaming and he's like, it's a rat. And she's like, nah, it's just a little rat. And he's like, nah, it's a possum. It's a possum. And she's like, no, it's just a rat. And it's like this mangy little dirty possum. It's so funny.
My favorite, I think my favorite quote is when he's like, do you like the view? She's like, yeah.
Oh my God, this everybody is.
And he's like, you're my favorite view. And she just gives him that look. The look that every girl has given somebody.
She was such a big mood.
Oh, it's so funny. I think she's so funny.
Nah, for real. But all right, let's move on from 90 Day Fiancé. Tell me about your week.
Business as usual. Kind of just going back into the flow of things now that I've had my experience at Brushy Mountain State Penitentiary. I'm already looking at where I want to go next.
Anything follow you home?
No, I don't believe that anything followed me home.
I mean, it hasn't killed you yet.
I would like to emphasize yet. So where are we going this week?
We are going to Patna, India. Is that how we pronounce it?
I hope so, because that's what I'm going with.
Yeah, sorry if it's wrong, but P-A-T-N-A, India.
Mm-hmm. And this is the first time we're going to India, so I'm really excited. Yeah, so I think I'm going to start this week. So today I'm going to be talking about the poisoning that occurred in the village of Demesti Gadaman, which is about 50 miles away from Patna, India. So I want to just jump right into the case. This school named Damashati Mada Murder.
Wow, I'm so impressed.
It's probably very wrong, but this school was established in 2010 with only 89 registered students. Located in the northern region of India, it is ranked one of the nation's poorest states. At the time, public health in general wasn't really the greatest. It participated in an extensive school lunch program to help fight childhood poverty and malnutrition, an issue that was widespread, called the Midday Meal Scheme. This program helped produce lunches to about 120 million students in India for free. It was originally launched in 1995 and is still active to this very day. It has served over 120 million children within 1,265,000 schools and is the largest of its kind in the world. And so it's supposed to provide adequate nutrition for like these communities and these schools for kids that don't have enough money for lunches. And the idea is if the schools are able to provide one, you know, adequate lunch with nutrition, it's going to help the student focus. It's going to give them a better education and a better life long term.
Yeah.
Which we see that in America as well, especially with COVID. A lot of lower income families were affected because they do rely on that one meal for their families. But at this school, the headmistress was in charge of storing the food that was part of the program, but she didn't have the infrastructure to store the food properly. So on July 16th, 2013, 3 years after the school had been established, students began to eat their lunches of rice, pulses, and soya beans, or depending on the source, rice, soybeans, and potato curry. So I saw multiple sources with those different variations, but all that matters is the students aged 4 to 12 years old started experiencing stomach pain, diarrhea, and vomiting about a half hour after eating the food. So while some of the older students were sent home due to the symptoms, students that were in the first and fifth grade experienced more symptoms, with 4 of the students dying upon arrival to the hospital, and other students still managed to get to the hospital, but they weren't able to stabilize them, and they were later declared dead.
That's so fast. Like, literally was just, like, sick, and then they're dead.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's pretty crazy that this happened. The total number of deaths were reported by the officials to be 23 children after eating the lunches, but the local community say that there was 27 deaths I don't know why there's that discrepancy, but yeah. I read in multiple accounts that the village believed that there was 27 deaths and officials only said that there was 23. So some reports said that 16 children died on site, so that's at the school, with 4 declared dead upon arrival at the hospital. Additionally, 2 children of the cook that cooked the meals for the students passed away, while her 3rd child survived. About half the population of the school, totaling 48 students, were affected by the contaminated food.
That's crazy. That's so many.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And where they should be getting fed safe and clean food.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So let's look into the events that led up to the incident. So while they prepared the food for the children, the head cook, who was also hospitalized for the poisoning, brought the cooking oil up to the headmistress, who's named Meena Kumari. She told Meena that it smelled odd and it had like an odd appearance. The headmistress said that it was fine to use because it was purchased at a local grocery store and it was totally normal, totally fine, totally safe. The cook was later quoted saying, quote, "It looked like an accumulation of residual waste at the bottom of the oil jar," end quote. Mm-hmm. So that quote can be found on reuters.com. So she obviously brought it up to the attention and she was dismissed. The students also mentioned that while they were eating their lunches, the food tasted odd or the food smelled odd. But they were dismissed and their worries and complaints were ignored, and they obviously kept eating their lunches because they're kids and they're hungry.
Yeah, I mean, they feel like they have no other choice.
Especially when you know that's the only meal that you're going to get. And also, when an adult or a lunch lady told me, oh, like, it's fine, oh, it's cooked, I inherently trust them because they're an adult.
Exactly. It's so easy to make kids trust you when you're... I don't even want to say I'm an adult.
Right.
When you're older.
Right, yeah. So according to IndianExpress.com, quote, "Initial reports showed the food was contaminated by an organophosphate, which is a class of chemicals commonly found in pesticides. Bihar's state education minister at the time, P.K. Sahari, had said that the preliminary investigation suggested that the food served to the children contained organophosphate used as an insecticide on rice and wheat crops. He said it was believed that the rice had not been washed before it was served to the children. Patna Medical College Hospital superintendent had said that the postmortem reports of the children who died confirmed that the insecticide was either in the food or in the cooking oil," end quote.
That's terrible.
Organophosphate can be found in insecticides, herbicides, nerve agents, and flame retardants.
Ew. I mean, it's like when people are like, yeah, I drink, don't sue us, Coke or Pepsi, and then it like unrusts a nail and you're like, I'm gonna still drink it though.
This is totally healthy. Yeah, so in pesticides alone, organophosphates make up 50% of the killing agents in chemical pesticides. And that's according to Wikipedia. So it has lied to me before. I think we found that out in recent podcasts that Wikipedia is not 100% accurate all the time. But basically...
Yeah, drag yourself so others can't.
Right.
I mean, so pretty much could have been avoided if the rice was just washed.
Yeah, so initially that's what they thought was happening. But what really happened was even crappier.
Oh, good.
But they were very close. Their initial reports, they guessed very, very close to what actually had happened. So locals began to suspect that there was a problem with the side dishes and not the rice, since the kids that ate just the rice were fine that day. But the day after the incident, officials began to suspect that it was, in fact, the cooking oil that was the main cause of death. It was later said that state officials knew that the oil was purchased from a shop owner who was also the headmistress's husband, and they found out that it was stored in a container that had formerly stored insecticides.
Yeah, because that's why I put my food in. Thank you.
Exactly. Violent protests began throughout the entire city and in neighboring city. During my research, I found that 4 police cars were set on fire. The protesters demanded that whoever caused this tragedy would be held criminally accountable. In act of protest, 19 of the children were buried in the surrounding property or in the school's property. The students that hadn't passed away from this accident refused to eat their meals at school.
I don't blame them.
And the school's kitchen was completely destroyed. So the school ended up having to move out of town, which sucks because now these kids are having to travel to a different town through who knows what. You don't know if the kids are able to have transportation.
They most likely don't if it's a very poor area. They probably had to walk in a lot longer than they would have had before.
Yes. So I'm sure that affected their education in the long run, all because of this incident and this person's, complete negligence on making sure her students are healthy.
Did she ever get in trouble?
Yes. So according to the BBC, on July 20th, police said that the forensic report confirmed that the cooking oil contained, quote, very toxic levels of monocrotophos, which are agricultural pesticides. And according to Wikipedia, my favorite place in the world, those are banned in the US and the EU and are only available in India. Once this case became public, the headmistress fled with her husband, and a criminal investigation was launched. The authorities began looking for them, and they were later found on July 24th in a neighboring city. She was held on suspicion of criminal conspiracy and the suspicion of murder. In the aftermath of it all, the headmistress was sentenced to 17 years in prison.
Oh, wow.
She got the maximum punishment for culpable homicide. They did acquit her for the murder charges, and her husband was acquitted of all charges. The government later made steps in hope to prevent incidents like this in the future by providing a toll-free number that was able to be called 24/7 if you had any concerns about the midday meal scheme. And it also kept raw grain samples in the facility where the items for the midday meals were supplied for at least 3 months for testing.
You know that she honestly probably took that oil out of that container and was just trying to be lazy and was like, nah, I just won't clean it. I'll just fill it up with the next food, whatever.
It'll be fine.
And now she's in jail for 17 years and you're like, ooh. Yeah.
Cases like this are why my parents worry about me. That's the end of it all. She's still in jail. Gosh, it's just a case that makes me really mad because it could 100% could have been prevented.
But it was just like one big mistake.
Right.
That is a big mistake, and she should never have done that when she's dealing with kids.
Yes.
But
and what they should have done is made sure that they were storing the food in an infrastructure that made sense. But they didn't and allowed her to store it in an unsafe environment, in an unsafe container. And yeah, obviously tragedy occurred.
Yeah. I also wonder if she had the resources to have another container. I feel like if she is the headmistress, she has some kind of money and some kind of income and holds the place to a certain standard. But I also know that in lower income schools and areas that it's very difficult to find the resources that you need to create hygiene and promote healthy living. Oh my gosh. Can you tell I've been working?
Yeah, and I think also in, lower income schools or in lower income areas, you do with what you have. And also education. If you didn't know that an insecticide was going to kill people and it was fine, you would feel like you could store it in a container that had that in the past. Maybe she did rinse it out, but she didn't rinse it out enough.
Yeah.
I know that the water quality there is not that great because the overall health of, the area, the overall health quality of the area isn't the greatest.
It's also not so great.
Yeah. So there's so many factors that could contribute to this tragedy. And it's just heartbreaking.
Yeah, because it did not have to happen. It's so hard. And especially when you talk about true crime situations in lower income families in neighborhoods, because a lot of time it's things that could be prevented, but it can't because, or it wasn't because they didn't have the appropriate resources. Sorry. I mean, Taylor, you literally texted me about this earlier where you're like, this is definitely up your alley because I do a lot of work in advocacy right. and like childcare and stuff like that.
Absolutely. And so you see it all the time. I was like,
Yeah, I'm like, here we go. Back at work. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. I'm excited to hear your story.
You can always tell it's later when we record these because I'm so much more nonchalant mm-hmm. and way more harsher about what I talk about.
This is just two friends chit-chatting.
I mean, do we want to talk about the fact that we literally talked for like 2 hours before actually recording?
Yeah, I mean, it's problematic, but we probably should have videotaped the entire conversation and just uploaded that.
I mean, I think it's really funny that we talk like we're on the phone, but we're just on Zoom with microphones. So it's like really high tech
yeah.
phone calls between each other. You can, my voice is so gravelly right now. Since I'm not sleeping, I'm...
Someone described our podcast audio as, quote, smooth.
Smooth, really? Yes. I mean, I feel like my voice is smooth, but, like, really, like... I don't know. I think I sound sexier with this more gravelly... what was the word? Gravelly voice? Hoarse voice?
I know the word. It's like... Do I know the word? It's like, it's like when you're, it's not gnarly.
What are we on a, hit the surf?
I kind of talk like a surfer. Like the older I get, the more I talk like a surfer or somebody from Tony Hawk game.
Oh my God, I miss that.
So I don't know if you get the Masterclass advertisements.
No.
It was really big when COVID first started, but basically there's like all these trained professionals and you take these master classes that are videos of like how to do things. It's like Skillshare, but like with like celebrities. And I keep getting Tony Hawk learn how to skate on my freaking master class. Like originally it was like graphic design and like podcasting. And then all of a sudden, I think it was listening to me on my microphone talk about my dude or something. And they're like, oh, she must want to be a skater. And now it's like Tony Hawk, masterclass, learn how to skate.
Stop. The FBI agent in your phone's really doing research.
I keep seeing the TikToks where it's like, where you like take someone's phone and talk into the microphone to make them get advertisements for the things that you want.
And I'm like, that's so funny because it's so mean to my friends where I'm like, please get the help you need.
I mean, does it work though? Like, has she, like, has these people gotten it to do anything? Because I've literally, I don't know if it's reading my text messages, but I'll text Hunter about something. And then the next day I have an advertisement about a refrigerator that I talked to him about. Like,
yes, they're listening. I mean, I'm not going to lie and I allow them to. I mean, have you ever seen Parks and Rec?
Yes.
Okay, have you seen, like, the one season where the one big tech company is pretty much just selling, like, gives everyone a free phone, and then they realize that they get a gift, and it's, like, gifts of everything they've ever wanted. Or I think it's Donna. Donna's like, I literally talked about this one thing in, like, a conversation a long time ago, and they gave it to me, so they're listening to us. It reminds me of that.
My favorite episode is the one where everybody doesn't know how to drink out of the water fountains.
Oh, my God.
I love that episode.
The show's so funny.
It's so good.
My favorite episode is Who Shot Ron?
Apparently, it was supposed to be... Now, this is my number 5 coming out, but... Apparently, Parks and Rec was supposed to be a spinoff of The Office, but it never happened.
And honestly, I'm glad for that. Too. I like Parks and Rec as it is.
Yeah. A lot of the writers that were on The Office also wrote for Parks and Rec.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. I thought that show was so funny.
It's so good.
It's so good. I mean, you know me. I only watch, like, 2 kinds of television, and one of them is comedy.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I do, too. But I have to send you this quiz. Maybe at the end we'll do it. But basically, everybody has a Parks and Recreation and... The Office matchup, like one character at each is like who you are as a person.
Oh my God, I'm so curious.
Yeah, we'll talk about the results at the end, but you should go.
So funny. All right. Yeah, I got to talk about my murder. Mm-hmm. It's a murder this week, y'all.
It's a murder this week, y'all. Where are we? Are we in Texas?
I say y'all a lot.
It's addressing a group of you all, but technically it wouldn't be correct because it's just me and the ghosts in my house.
Yeah, but my sister's next to me listening.
Okay. Well, she's hearing one side of the conversation, but.
Okay, so I'm talking about the really sad and gruesome murder of Papaya Ghosh, who was a well-known historian and well-known figure in Patna, India. She was known for her studies in South Asian history, and she was a professor at the University of Patna. So at the beginning of her life, she was born October 8th, 1953, and she was three of four daughters. When she was 4 years old, her father was killed due to, like, a political murder, so her mother had to raise the children. So there was already some unrest and kind of what made her be who she is today. She had a really great education. She was, like, head girl at her school. She went to Patna Women's College. She was known as a debater, writer, historian, intellect. Like,
love.
Pretty much very well known. She was, after, like, kind of growing up and becoming a professor, she was an unrelenting historian who studied relevant social research such as for refugees, citizenship between ethnic groups, the Bihar and like Muslims, for example, in India. Mm-hmm. And essentially as like a historian, she worked with the past to understand and further try to interact with the present. So she was really looking at the region's complex interactions of the past in order to see how it will impact the future. That was kind of her goals.
Awesome. Love that.
Yeah, she really studied the impact of the partition of 1947, which was really relevant because this was when British India was split into two independent states. So Pakistan, India, mm-hmm. if people don't know what the partition of 1947 is. But I don't know. I didn't, to be honest, I'd not know.
I didn't know either. I'm not going to act like I did.
Yeah. I mean, I know like it happened, but I didn't know what it was called. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So she did a lot of people's movements and she was a winner of many awards. She's really well known. She's really supporting her community. She's really loved.
She's a strong female.
And we love a strong, independent
woman.
We
do. Yes, queen.
Who's then murdered.
Okay. Not so much yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It always happens that way. Whenever we have somebody we like in a story, it's always really sad.
Yeah. Maybe we should do one where they get away.
So it was on the night of December 2nd until like the 3rd in 2006. When she was brutally stabbed to death. She was 53 years old, and when her body was found, she had 34 stab wounds through her body. It was noted that she was blinded first, so she got stabbed in her eyes, and then her throat, and then her stomach. And when the police found her, her intestines were falling out.
I will say that was definitely a crime of passion.
It was a lot.
They did a lot. The most.
The most. They did cover with a quilt, though, so I didn't really have a point there. I just...
That wasn't really a statement, just a fact thing.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought that might be a redeeming quality.
Was there more? There's probably more,
oh, there's
right?
more. They also murdered her elderly maid at 70 years old by stabbing and strangling her, even though she was just there.
I need to know who did this.
Well, the next day, the daytime maid came, which was Sunday morning, and when no one would answer the door, she called the police.
Good for her.
And that is when the police started investigating. So I had a hard time finding a lot of information on the police investigation itself, mm-hmm. but I just thought it was very interesting because of how many people they arrested. So I'll get there, though.
They probably kept it under wraps because it was a high-profile case.
No, like, people were, like, angry. People were like, you need to figure it out. Even the Prime Minister, Manmohan Singh, inquired about this, as he says, shocking crime, and was trying to like push the inspectors and the police to like look into it and find the perpetrators.
Right. Well, she's a public figure.
Yeah. So it was really important. And the police later uncovered that it was a attempted robbery that was most likely she was killed for resisting the attack because all her valuables were taken, even her computer and her car.
Was she assaulted as well?
No. Okay. She was just
mauled.
Murdered. Yeah, essentially. Okay. There was some speculation that she was killed by land mafia because her house like was an old house but by her father, and so they thought the mafia was trying to take the house for an apartment building, but that was quickly denounced and not real. Hmm. So a couple years later, the police found the stolen goods and traced them back to the suspects. So 2 years later, they arrested 5 people.
Wow. 2 years. Yes.
Yeah. That's crazy. And then arrested 5 people. However, they later arrested 2 more, but I will get there.
Okay.
So the first person that they arrested was Shankar Shah, which was the main conspirator. He's the one who inflicted the fatal wounds and even stated, in fact, the maid had handed a kitchen knife to the professor to take us on. Then we killed her. So he knew what he was doing.
Dang. He just confessed. Also, huh?
Oh, he fully confessed. he also knew her routine. So it was obvious that they'd been stalking her for a while and had planned this out. So this was just a way to try to steal some goods and valuables from somebody that they knew had money.
Okay, so this is like a organized crime.
Yes. Okay. But I thought it was so interesting because there's so many players.
Yeah, 5 people is a lot. So did
7 technically.
He take them on and then murder them and then the other people steal the stuff? Or like, how'd that play out?
Yeah, I guess he's one who did like the fatal wounds.
Okay.
So I think a couple others had participated but did not fatally stab her. I think it was just more like a stab in there and whatnot.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot.
Yeah.
After he was arrested, he recently has been given the death sentence, so he's the only one to be given the death sentence.
Okay.
The second perpetrator is Ashish Kumar, who has gotten life imprisonment. The third person is Manohar Kumar, who also got life imprisonment. The fourth person was Anil Ran, who also got life imprisonment for his participation. So that was the fourth one of uninteresting life imprisonment. So now we move on to the fifth perpetrator, from Chandra Mato, who was found to have her washing machine in his house. Like, they literally stole
everything.
He was only given 2 years, one because he's a big advocate. I don't know what for, but I guess like in the sociopolitical climate, he's a big advocate.
For them?
I think in like
the government, the community. Something?
Like, probably the community.
Interesting. Well, you know what they say. The people at the top never get full sentences, so.
I mean, you're right. And, I mean, he also was not directly involved with the murder. So I think he was just, like, stealing things. Yeah. Because the ones who got life imprisonment had been part of the murder. But the one who was not, or the ones that were not, were just still given sentences for robbery, obviously. But were not charged as much. So this brings us to the 6th and 7th perpetrators who had absconded. So they had run away before the police could catch them, and they were on the run for a couple years. Mustakim Min actually had a fake name known as Shamim, and he had moved to a different nearby city and worked as a bicycle repairman until police recognized him and brought him in.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was given a sentence, I think, of also 2 years, but that might be wrong. Sorry.
So what was his affiliation?
He was just also there, like just kind of like Ramchander Mato, where he was just stealing things.
Gotcha.
Pretty much like
there was a main Shankar player
Shah,
and then.
Yeah. Okay. Got just a big group of people together and was like, let's rob this lady, and then ended up murdering her. But finally, the last and final perpetrator, Sajong Rai, was finally caught a couple years ago because he had broken off contact with friends and family after the robbery had occurred and changed his name to Sunny. They found him working in a small factory of nuts and bolts in Ludhiana in order to try to escape the police. He said that Saw had asked him to drive the car, and that's where he ferried the stolen goods from Gosh's house to the Digha locality.
Hmm.
So that was his part of the robbery and murder.
Wow. I wonder if they got every single person.
That's what I'm wondering, too, because that's a lot already, 7, but who knows if that was really everybody or if they're protecting somebody.
They have to be. I mean, it seems like it's an organized thing.
Yeah. I mean, it was just so much, and it was such a big murder, and there's so many news articles about it, honestly. Mm-hmm. I just had a hard time finding details. I found a lot of news articles, though, about the actual situation.
Right.
But this is why my parents worry about me.
Yep.
Essentially, there's nothing else to say.
Right. Gosh, that's such a tragic case.
Yeah, that seven people can come together and try to rob and murder me.
Yeah.
Just out of defenseless old ladies.
That's crazy. Yeah, I wonder, obviously, she's a prominent figure and she's a lady, and she's also well off. I wonder why they chose her, if it was just money and belongings oriented, or if there was also some political components at play.
It's definitely possible, because she did a lot of in advocacy and in, like, human rights when people are discussing refugees, mm-hmm. whatnot. So maybe they did not like her stance and wanted to attack her on that. But mm-hmm. that has not come out at all, if that is the reason.
Yeah. And I wonder if she's connected with the other guy that also does advocacy work. If maybe they met at, like, a dinner or a rally or something, and that's how he knew that she had some of those belongings.
That's a really good question.
Yeah. I mean, we'll never know.
Yeah.
But you never know. Maybe that's something that could have been, you know.
I know. No, I mean, it's a really good point. But, yeah, that's my story. I wish it was longer, honestly. But I just thought it was so interesting, because don't usually get to see murders where it's that many people.
That many people, and they're also, so my initial thought is there's a ton of stab wounds in her. I would think crime of passion, especially because she's an activist, that it would be something, like, politically charged. Yeah. Well, so why are your parents proud of you this week?
My parents are proud of me because I came back from Chicago. Sometimes I think I won't return.
That's awesome.
They're like, please come back.
Why my parents are proud of me moment is really special this week.
Why is it?
So my best friend from college, Lindsay, married her fiance this Saturday. Their ceremony was really cool. They did like a drive-in style wedding, so it was completely like a safe environment. Obviously, they had a very small, intimate wedding, so they were able to socially distance. But it was awesome. I don't get emotional. I'm not an emotional human being at all. And I will say that I almost got one tear that came out of my eyes. Oh my God. I was teary-eyed the entire time.
An emotion? Right. Taylor, what are you thinking?
The second I saw her walk down the aisle, I started getting teary-eyed, and then they started doing their vows, and all of the bridesmaids, and I think most of the groomsmen lost their shit. Like, it was just so beautiful and perfect. The weather was incredible. It was just a really good time. So congrats, Lindsay and Corey. It was really cool to be a part of their wedding. And then I want you to take this quiz. Oh my God. And then we'll wrap it up for this week, okay? Everyone is a combination of an Office and Parks Rec character. Which are you?
All right, let's begin the game.
Yep.
Oh my God, I got the most biggest idiots.
What did you get?
Bro, I got Dwight and Andy. I literally got the biggest idiots.
So originally when I took this test, I got April and Dwight, which I was genuinely happy with.
That is such a good combination. Right. That's what I want to be.
And now I have Ron and Ryan.
Oh my God.
Oh, no.
I'm so sorry. It's the last question. It screwed you over.
I hate this game. All right. Well,
I'm so pissed.
Now that we absolutely hate ourselves, we are going to wrap things up. So if you've enjoyed today's podcast, please rate our podcast 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. We're available on all major streams. If you haven't already, go ahead and check out our Instagram at Why My Parents Worry About Me. And if you would like to give us a Why My Parents Are Proud of Me moment, you can reach us at our Instagram or whymyparentsworryaboutme@gmail.com.
You did not say to tell your friends. Tell your friends, please.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that it.
Bye. Bye. Great. Love that.
Love that for us.